Bring Christian greetings to each one here this evening. Good to be here and be in your midst and share in the nourishment that we can receive through the Word of God. It's good to be here. It's been a while since I have, and there's been some changes that have been made in, what is it, 6 or 7 years, I forget now. But it's good to come together again, and I'm glad to be here, and also want to extend a welcome to y'all to come back and visit us anytime. We have plenty of room there at home, and be glad to put you up. Tonight, our subject is youth and the will of God. Youth tonight, you are a very important part of the church, and it's not because we think you have a lot of problems and so forth that we want to talk, but it's an important time in life, and we want to be an encouragement to you and to build you up in the faith. I was thinking about what Ralph shared in the devotions about the little lamb, and God can work with us, and he can give us an appetite, and then sometimes he has to maybe open our mouths so that we receive the word, and that's what I want God to do this evening. I want to just share the word of God, and you let it work in your heart and life. Why are we concerned tonight about youth being in the will of God? I think it's because there are choices that are made during youth, in the teenage years and on into a little older, that affect us and go with us for a long time. Maybe at first we'll just look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice there that it says the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Do you feel tonight like you know what that perfect will of God is for your life? Well, I know in my own experience when I was a youth, and it goes with you through life, that you don't always know what the good and perfect will of God is. But we want to think about youth and their desires and how we can be in the will of God. And I believe that we will know as we live our life for God, that we will know then what the will of God is. And I hope we can grow, all of us. We have a lot of youth here this evening. I appreciate what I see, and I want to be an encouragement to you. Youth is a time when habits and thought patterns are formed. I'm sure we start younger than youth, but when it comes to the things of values and things like that, we start forming them in a time of youth, and them things go with us. And God can work redemptively in our lives when we make wrong choices, when we make mistakes. God can take someone that has bad habits and bad thought patterns and redeem them. God is able to do that, but it is those scars and reapings go with us for a long time when we don't do it like God wants us to in the tender years of life. I want to just draw a few thoughts from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 9 and 10, and also the first verse of chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 11, 9 says, Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I think he's giving this as a challenge here. He says that you have a choice, young man. says, in thy youth, let thy heart cheer thee, and you can walk in your ways, and you can decide what you want to do, and you can fill your eyes with what you want to fill them with. But he says, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And then he says that to remove sorrow from thy heart. And I believe what he's saying is that we need to, there is things that bring sorrow in life, and these wrong choices that we tend to make in our youth will bring sorrow. So let's not do that. Remove them from our heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. We have the ability to choose. We can decide what we want to do. All of us can, and youth can. There's endless resources of what you can fill your life with today. I believe we live in a time when it's very prevalent, it's very available. And we have that ability to choose. And we can do things our way, but he's saying here that remember that God will judge his way. I believe the pleasures of sinful living, he's telling us here, do not bring satisfaction later on in life. He says that put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. He's telling us that a time of youth is transitory. We don't stay young. Nobody has stayed young yet, and nobody will either. We can die in our youth, but we don't stay here in this life as a youth, and we need to remember that, and remember that these things go away. These things don't bring satisfaction, and we need to have relationships in life and do things the way God would desire us to. Now, it's very important that we make right choices when we're a youth. And I guess I said already that God can work redemptively in our lives. And for those of us that have made some wrong choices, I don't believe I stand before you tonight in the perfect example of a model youth. Some of you know me well enough to know that. But God can redeem us. God can take care of us. And he can teach us many things. And so it's not a hopeless case if you feel like you weren't what you should have been as a youth, that you have the ability that God gives us, the nourishment that we need, that we can come into the will of God. And in our youth, to our youth tonight, we don't expect perfection. We do want a heart that is seeking after God, a heart that desires the will of God. And I believe it's in that desire and that sincerity that you will find the will of God. Okay, what is the will of God? I remember that question in my own heart when I was a youth, just thinking, how do I know what the will of God is? especially when it comes to some of the bigger decisions of life. You know, it's not such a big deal when you're deciding on whether to buy two different cars and you have to decide. That's not such a big deal. I think it's good if we bring those decisions to God too, but some of the bigger decisions of life, whether you'll teach school and of course youth are always interested in who their life companion will be, and some of those decisions are serious and big. And it's good that we want to know what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5, verse 17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So wanting to know what the will of the Lord is a good thing. The Bible says that we should understand what the will of the Lord is. And tonight I just simply am going to give some points on what the will of God is for youth. And I believe it's within these perimeters of the known will of God that we know what the unknown will of God is. There is the known will of God, and there is also some things we don't know about the will of God. So I'll just share these points with you. Number one, it's God's will that you were born to the family that you can put your fill in the blank. You were born into as a Eveleth or a Huli or whatever you were born into. And I believe that it's where this is something that youth struggle with, and think if they were just born into a different family, it would be so much easier to be a Christian. And I think I had some of that in my own heart. But God's perfect will is that you're in the family that you're born into tonight. You're here and you can receive the nourishment and understand what God's will is for you. And I'll give number two right away along with it. It's that you respect and obey your parents, closely related. It's God's will that you respect and obey your parents. Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth." So that's God's will. It's written right here in the scriptures that as youth you grow up and you learn, younger than youth, to obey and respect. But it continues on in our youth, and I believe it, the respecting goes on through life. That was never right to be disrespectful to your parents, no matter what kind of decisions, no matter how many faults they make. It's wrong to be disrespectful. It says there that it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Notice the promise there that thou mayest live long on the earth. And there has been many lives taken at young ages because there was a lack of honoring father and mother. And I don't believe that that's always, when someone gets killed in their youth, is not always a result of lack of honor. But there has been people that went against their parents' teaching, and it brings, that kind of life brings very dramatic experiences, and it very often shortens life. I think we can save ourselves a lot of heartache if we follow the advice of our godly parents. And tonight, if you don't have godly parents, there is someone that will be a father to you. I believe the world is very short on fathers. There's many men that have children, but there is fathers available to you that desire them. Maybe you feel like your parents aren't worthy of respect, but these verses still hold true that the Bible says to respect them anyway. Okay, number three, it is the will of God that you submit yourself to Christ and His church. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." We are part of the body of Christ. As you grow up and name the name of Christ, we want to talk about being born again a little later. But it's within the body of Christ that we find the need of submission and working together, and youth need that. Hebrews 13, verse 17, we all need it. But Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Young people, it is very important that you understand how accountable we are to the body of Christ as we are members of the body of Christ. And Jesus has done so much to redeem the church. And it talks in Ephesians 5 there about how He gave His life for the church. And we have the privilege of being a part of that body, and it's very important to understand our accountability to the body. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." And tonight, young people, I can testify that church guidelines and things that are put in place by the church are not something that we do to suppress you having a good time. It depends on what you define a good time by. But we want you to enjoy life and to enjoy the blessings that God has given. And it's not because we don't love you that we give guidelines. We don't want to just ruin, we're not trying to ruin your life. But these guidelines of the church are given for your eternal good and for the good of the whole church. And it doesn't just affect youth. But many times, at least for me, it was in my youth that I struggled with those things. I believe that these things, it's God's will, thinking about submitting to the church, that we follow these things conscientiously and not just so we can get by, too. And another thing that's easy for me to do in my youth was to look at others and say, well, they're not doing it, why should I? And, you know, we compare ourselves, and the Bible talks about that. It says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Notice there's a lot of themselves in there, and it's important that we stay out of that bracket. Let's just follow the Word of God and conscientiously keep the commands of the Scripture and the guidelines that the church has given. Thinking about submitting to the church, it is our responsibility to take. We need to take responsibility for our actions, and dodging that responsibility by comparing ourselves or however is a bad habit to get into, and it will go with you through life if you don't take care of it. Number four, it's God's will that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's very important as young people that you, when you come to the age when you know the Lord is calling you in a personal way, that you be born again. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2 there, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I believe that within that transformation that takes place in the new birth is the only way that you will have that new nature, and that you will be able to understand what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Because just conforming yourself to a certain mold will not help you to understand what the will of God is, but it needs to be from the inside. We need to have a heart that is seeking for God and His holiness, and it's within that renewing of the mind that we can understand what this good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus there. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In verse 5 again, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So that new birth is very important if you want to be part of the kingdom of God. And because it's because that we are part of that kingdom that we are seeking the will of God. If we weren't part of that, we wouldn't be interested in the will of God. Right along with that, number five, it's the will of God that you have a daily relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." There he talks about fellowship, a relationship. God is faithful. 1 John 1, 3 says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We have the provision of a daily relationship with God, and we think about how great God is and how the splendor and the bigness, the vastness of creation, and yet God wants to come and dwell in your hearts tonight as youth. He wants to come and dwell in all of our hearts. And God has a throne in heaven, but He also has a place in the heart of the humble and the contrite. And He wants that daily relationship. And that's one thing that's is a blessing of the Christian life, is that it's not a one-way street. It's not just that we seek after God, but God has done His part and He's seeking after us. There are many things that the devil has to offer us as far as fellowship goes, and I think there's a danger of using those things to drown out your hunger and thirst after righteousness. Be careful that you have a relationship with God and do that daily. Read the Scriptures and think about what you read and try to make application to your life and find comfort in the Scriptures. Number six, it's the will of God, that the world would see godly characteristics in your life. There is a tremendous witness that goes forth when young people have a heart that is seeking after God, and it's something that the world sits up and takes notice of. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." He says, "Let no man despise thy youth." And if you think about what the world thinks of the church, and it's probably a large part centers around what you as a youth, how much you're seeking after God, because it's kind of expected that when you get a little older, up into your 20s, and you settle down, get married, you kind of settle down. That's somewhat expected. But when youth are striving to serve God and they give sacrifice their time and their talents for the work of the church, it's something that the world takes notice and is a very powerful witness to the world around us. So what your neighbor sees in your life is probably somewhat how he views your church here this evening. And you need to take, young people, you need to take that as a challenge and responsibility, because it is your time to put your roots down in the Word of God and to be a pillar and a help to the church. If you look back in history of the church, there were groups that, and I believe there still is groups, that don't require holiness in life in their youth. And the results are devastating to many people. There is a very small percentage of those youth that come back and find the Lord. And thankfully, there are some. But it is a time of youth that people are looking, and they want it, and they see this, and it stands out that you're seeking the will of God and you're displaying these godly characteristics in your life. Number 7, it is God's will that you live in moral purity. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Also, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And Psalm 24, 3 and 4 says, "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." So it is important that we live in moral purity. And this is something that affects us all. It's not just for youth. And it's something probably that is a greater temptation. The Bible talks about fleeing youthful lust. So it matters tonight, the thoughts that you have. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23. "And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile the man." Earlier there it talks about how the Pharisees were trying to get the disciples in trouble for eating with unwashing hands. I think it's how it was. And Jesus wanted them to understand that couldn't really defile. That wasn't the most important thing in life. And those things that happen within are the things that defile us. And we're certainly living in the world around us. There is so much immorality and impurity. And it matters where you let your mind go in the area of purity. It says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed these things." So we need to understand, maybe especially young men, that these things start in your heart, and that's where you need to guard them. You need to live, that's God's will, that you live with victory in your life over these issues. And there's other, of course, other areas in your life that that need to be pulled in check, but probably one of the largest ones that we deal with is the area of purity. And remember that God made you with these desires, and but God has set the boundaries, and God also made it possible that you can control your life and you can control your thoughts and that you can live in victory. I'd like to give encouragement that if you feel like you aren't living in victory tonight, that you find the help that is necessary. And I believe your ministry wants you to help. And I know maybe you're sitting as a young person and you think that would be really scary to go to your ministry and admit that you're living in defeat. But I'm here to tell you that it won't be scary, and it's hard to admit what you've done, I know. But there is none of us that are wanting to strike people down. We only have a heart to help, and that's what my desire is, and I'm sure that's what your ministry's desire is, that if you need help, I just beg you to get it, because it is so important that we live in victory, because Jesus said, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed these things that really defile the man, and we certainly don't want to be defiled when we stand before God. It says in Psalm, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." Now, thinking about moral purity, it's God's will that we live there, and I talk to the young men. There's a few things I'd like to say to the sister side, that it's probably not in the same area of struggle that young men have, but that you do have a responsibility. When Satan came to Eve back in the garden, he tempted her with the issue of pride. And I think all of you probably want to look right if we took a vote tonight and asked who all of you did not want to be attractive. I doubt anybody would raise your hand. And I think that is a God-given desire, that you want to look, do you want to look attractive? I'm not sure if that's quite the right word or not, but we need to understand what attractive is. The Bible says that in 1 Peter, maybe I should just read those verses there. First Peter chapter 3. This is talking to wives somewhat, but youth grow up and start homes of their own. And if you want to be a pattern of a godly woman, you have to start in your youth. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Tonight, God is looking for a meek and quiet spirit, and it says it's in the sight of God of great price. And I just want to let that encouragement and challenge to you, young sisters, that is your desire, that you want to look as God wants you to look. And it's a very great price when young ladies, young sisters in the church, submit themselves to the applications that the church has taken for as modesty and things like that. That is your part of your responsibility in maintaining moral purity in the church. And I know that we each one are responsible for the thoughts that we think, but we all have a part in helping each other along the road and doing our part in helping each other. I'd like to give that encouragement to the sisters, that when you stand at the coat rack or whatever at Walmart and you're trying to decide what coat to wear, or you're standing, or maybe you're sitting at the sewing machine and you're trying to decide what kind of sleeve ending you're putting on your dress, or where to add a button or put a, I'm not sure what all you do, but is it going to be attractive in God's eyes, or is it going to draw attention to yourself? And I think it's very important in the issue of moral purity that you think about those things. Okay, going on. Number eight, it's the will of God that when you have a problem in your life that we don't just give up, but we go on in our Christian life. Let's look at 1 John 1:9. I think I said earlier that we're not looking for perfection in our youth. And there will be times in your Christian life that you fail. But it's God's will that we find forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think there are times when we all need to do like the publican did, and we just fall down and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, because we know that we have done something that we shouldn't. And we need to confess that and then go on in our Christian walk. You know, the battle is not over when you fall. It's over when you won't get back up again. Number nine, it's God's will that you use the counsel and advice of your parents and church leaders to help you decide what the unknown will of God is. I'll just read that again. It is God's will that you use the counsel and advice of your parents and church leaders to help you decide what the unknown will of God is. I think it's within that perimeter of submitting and obeying your parents and blending in with the home that you are raised in, and also in the church. There is your church leaders, and maybe it's even an older godly man that's not a church leader, but you can find help to understand and advice to understand what the unknown will of God is when it comes to the larger questions of life in deciding bigger things. There's good advice available. There's gray heads among us that can give advice. And you might be surprised at how good their memories are of when they were a youth, and you can learn from their stories as you give advice, as they give you advice and as you ask for it. You know, it's not as you grow out of youth and the life goes on and it seems like it speeds up. So it hasn't been that long since the older ones have been youth either. And surprisingly, the same struggles that you face are the ones that they faced. Number 10, it's God's will that you be like Daniel and Joseph in the Bible times. I won't turn to those examples, but we know the story of Daniel and of Joseph, how they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. And it's important, young people, that you have that purpose behind you tonight. God gives strength, but there is a part that you have to play in wanting to be on God's side and knowing and understanding that when you allow things in your life that are not pleasing to God, that you are sinning against God and not just against other people. Remember what Joseph said when he was tempted there. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He understood that, and it's important tonight that we understand that sin is against God. Number 11, it's God's will that you look for ways to be of service to others. Jesus said in Matthew 10:42, and whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Just those simple things and small things of life. And we know the story of the talents, how the man gave talents to his three servants. And as they were faithful in the small things, then he gave her larger responsibilities. So it's in these small things, even as small as giving a cup of cold water, it's in responsibility. Faithfulness in that responsibility is what God is looking for. I believe it's important that we are missionaries at home before going away. And I would like to, thinking about service, I would like to encourage you as youth to give a year of your time in service or in voluntary service, or there is many needs. CAM has a lot of work programs, and there is street meetings and all of these things. And some of these things can look maybe more glamorous than others, but it's those lowly duties and responsibilities at home sometimes, if you're not faithful in them, I believe that God will not call you to greater responsibility. It would be nice in these volunteer needs. It seems like there's always a call for them. But if you remember the story of the Israelites in the time of the Exodus there when they were building the tabernacle. They sent a need out in the congregation there to that they needed gold and I don't know what all it was, gold and brass and cloth and skins and all that to build the tabernacle. And the people gave willingly, and finally they had to put the call out that let's stop, you need to stop giving because it's more than what we can use. And wouldn't it be good tonight if we could have these needs filled and instead of calls going out that we need more help, that we could say it's filled up and let's just wait till next time when it's needed. Number 12, it's God's will that we understand that doing good deeds never outweighs disobedience. I'm not sure if I have that worded quite right, but I was thinking about the example of King Saul when he was sent on a mission and he upheld part of his obedience, but he didn't tell of his disobedience. And that can be, at least for myself and in my youth, that I justified some disobedience in my life because I was doing other things right. And it's those things there's no balance on that. God doesn't put good deeds on one side of the balance scale and bad deeds on the other and figure out how it balances out. That's not what God does. God wants a heart that is seeking and committed and transformed to doing all of what God wants us to do. Number 13, it's God's will that we have a full surrender to God, that we give it all to God. There is no corners of our heart that can be kept for ourselves. I guess it goes along with number 12 some. We can't just go part way with God, but God wants all of our life. He wants all of our thoughts. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So it's a full surrender that God wants from all of us. Okay, in closing, maybe a word yet to parents. Our youth need godly examples to follow. And I don't believe tonight that we can hammer our youth into position where we wouldn't want to be ourselves. We can never, if you want to provoke, well, the Bible talks about not provoking our children to wrath. And I believe that you will provoke your children to wrath if you require obedience to yourself, but you're not obedient to the church. That is a way of provoking your children to wrath. Because children, youth know that the Bible requires submission to the church. And they know that they're required to be submissive to you. But when they see parents that don't do that, it does cause problems in their life. So they need godly examples to follow. If your heart isn't after God, it'll be hard to have them come out at the right place. Another thing I think that I see in our churches around, and I don't know y'all's situation out here, don't get me wrong, but it is hard for parents with youth to say no and to give guidelines, and I think that that's what you need to do. Sometimes it just in a loving way, there is times when the simple word needs to be said and to stand by it. You know, you think about that example of King David's son where he had never been rebuked and the misery and the problems that he had in David's own life because he hadn't told his son no before. Another thing that parents need to do is to provide, you could think of many more, but provide your youth with good reading material. It is so important that we fill our minds with good things. The Bible says that as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if we want our heart or the heart of our youth to be after God, then we need to have the resources in our home to have reading material that would draw them closer to God. Then in closing, just a couple of verses in Psalm 128. It's a good picture. I like this picture of the family unit as we think about youth tonight. Psalm 128. I think I'll just read the whole psalm. It says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Tonight, what more could we want than godly youth that are enjoying their place around the table? Talks about olive plants around about that table. And it says that, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And he says that in verse 6, says, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Tonight we would like to see the church go on, godly youth grow up and establish homes of their own and be strong in the Lord and to grow up to be pillars in the church. And that's the way God wants to send his blessing to us.